Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you want to be a head coach again?
Yeah, I'm sure at some point. Yeah, at some point.
Do you plan to interview for jobs this year?
I won't comment on that, but yeah, we'll see how everything plays out, but I'm very happy here. Yeah, this has been an awesome place and has really helped me kind of rekindle my love for the sport.
From Chuck, Chuck writes and says, why did Cliff have to go and do that? He should have answered, focused on Dallas and the postseason. Kevin, help him out from a PR standpoint. Good morning, everybody. Thanks to Denton and Linnell and Doc for sitting in at various points this week. Back here for this Friday, heading into the regular season weekend finale. I can't believe we're already here at the regular season final week of the season. God, it flies by. And it is, I don't know about you guys, but it's depressing when the regular season ends. Yes, the postseason's exciting, and next weekend, six games, you know, six wild card games, Saturday, Sunday, Monday night. By the way, just real quickly, I would almost guarantee that Washington is not going to be the Monday night game. I think the Detroit-Minnesota loser as the 5 seed will play at the 4 seed. That'll either be Tampa Bay, Atlanta, or the Rams in that Monday night game. I think the loser of this game gets the longest, you know, kind of wait to play in that, I would guess, will be the Monday night game. So Washington will play either on Saturday as the 7 seed or 6 seed, or on Sunday as the 6 seed or 7 seed. I digress. Back to Chuck, or back to the depression of the regular season ending. I feel that. I mean, it's kind of like how you feel after Christmas. You know, there's a little bit of depression because the holidays are such a festive, fun time. Not for everybody. I understand that. And then it's over and it ends pretty quickly. Man, these 18 weeks fly by. We look forward to them all throughout the offseason, the spring. When that schedule comes out, you're in countdown mode to training camp and the preseason. And then it's just over. God. But we got a lot of football around here left. At least Denton Day, this isn't the final game of the season for our team, which it has been much more than not over the years. Washington's going to play this one to win it. They do have a lot of injuries on the injury report. Ben's going to join us in about 30 minutes, and we will talk about, you know, who's in and who's out and what's the status of Austin Eckler in particular. Doug Kammer will jump on with us at 12. Yeah, we have a major storm to talk about. Sunday night, Monday, maybe Monday night. This thing right now could get dragged into Tuesday morning. It could be all snow and a lot of it. It could be a lot of snow and a lot of ice. There are lots of players on the board for this one. Those of you that follow it like I do and are into these winter storms, you know this one's got some, typical for DC, some complexity around it, but the potential is there for the biggest storm we've seen in several years for Sunday night and Monday. With, by the way, some of the one of the longest stretches of just flat out cold weather. Forget the potential for snow after this weekend and early next week. It's going to be brutally cold around here for a while, for maybe the majority of January. So those that are looking forward, you know, to, you know, a warm stretch at some point, it's down the road, maybe way down the road. So Doug Kammerer, our good friend from Channel 4, will jump on with us at noon to give us the latest. He'll be with us right after the 12Z run of the GFS is out, and the Euro starts to roll. So he'll be on with us at noon. Denton, New Orleans was, you know, look, it's not that hard, right, from afar. It's terrible what happened in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. It's awful. You know, this is a place where obviously you come for your, you know, the diversions for everybody, for whatever is going on in your life. And so we're going to talk about, obviously, a lot of the college football, including the game that took place in New Orleans. Because, man, I think Notre Dame is super impressive right now. And then the game that happened early in the day on New Year's Day, we've got to go back to that one, Texas and Arizona State, because that was clearly the game that we waited for in this postseason and the one game that gave us just drama. Certainly it took a while to get there because the first 3.5 quarters of that game weren't what the final half of the fourth quarter and the two overtimes were. But we will get to a lot of college football today. Washington wins Sunday in Dallas. If my keys to a win over the Cowboys, I don't think this is going to be easy. I don't know how Dallas will play it on Sunday, but you know, if you've been following the Cowboys since they came here and won the Sunday before Thanksgiving, even the game last week against Philadelphia, I'm not going to tell you that the score was like wildly misleading. The Eagles beat the Cowboys 41-7, but it wasn't because Dallas didn't show up. They showed up. They moved the ball consistently against that Philadelphia defense. The issue was they had four turnovers in the game and missed a field goal. And that completely flipped it sideways. Now, if they don't turn the ball over, do they win against the Eagles? No, but that score looks totally different and would have been a competitive game. Rico Dowdle now has four 100-yard-plus games in his last five. Remember, it kind of started with the game here when he kind of ran at will and had his second-best rushing effort of the year, and it really got him jump-started and got Dallas jump-started. They've won four of their last six. One of their losses should have been a win, the block punt against Cincinnati, and the, you know, the guy that fielded the ball for the Cowboys when he should have steered clear of it. They were in field goal range almost for Aubrey for a game winner. If they play to win on Sunday, I think this is going to be a harder game and a more competitive game than maybe a lot of you guys think it will be. We'll talk about, you know, how they should play it, why they should try to win it. I'm with most of you, I think. I think they should try to win this game. I think the sixth seed is important. I don't want to personally, not that I would fear any team with five on our side, with Jaden Daniels on our side, but I'd much rather go to SoFi and play the Rams or even play the Bucks, which really looks like the more likely of the two opponents if we, you know, hold on to the sixth seed with a win against Dallas or a Green Bay loss to the Bears. I don't see that happening. But Yeah, much rather play the Rams than the Bucks. But the Rams aren't playing this game Sunday. Stafford's sitting, and we know Sean McVay, when he decides not to play people, he doesn't play people as much as you can with a 46-player game day roster. So right now, heavy, heavy odds on Washington going to Tampa, where this whole season started. In the first round, wild card weekend, you know, probably Saturday or Sunday. By the way, Tampa Bay, the place of Washington's last playoff win, which came roughly 19 years ago to the day when they beat Tampa without much offense, 17-10 after the 2005 season, and then they went to Seattle for the divisional round, the last time they played a divisional or a second-round playoff game. Pretty pathetic, we know, but the opportunity exists there to go down to the place where they got their last playoff win and end the drought. Tampa would not be an easy game. I think Tampa would be favored head-to-head against Washington. I've not seen any look-ahead lines on potential playoff matchups. You usually don't get those in the NFL. You get them in kind of the college football playoff thing, you know, the various matchups in a championship game. If Washington goes to Tampa, I think they'll be a 3.5, 4-point dog, something like that, Denton. You know, at SoFi, it might be like 3. You know, at Philly, it would be 8, something like that.
I found a hypothetical for you.
Give it to me.
It's 2.5.
Tampa would be 2.5?
Yeah, Tampa would be 2.5. That is the only one right now that they have. So they don't have one for the Rams or the Eagles.
Okay, 2.5's less than what I thought it would be. It's a good sign. But I feel confident Tampa, you know, as a home team, I thought it would be at least 3, but I would have guessed they would. I think they'd be a bigger dog at Tampa than they would be at SoFi against the Rams. The Rams have struggled offensively in recent games. I mean, if they're 2.5-point dogs at Tampa, the Rams line, they might only be like a 1-point, you know, underdog, something like that. Maybe pick them. Who knows? What do you think at Philly would be?
That one I think would be a little bit larger. That might be. So if I'm just basing this right now, the look ahead for Philly and Green Bay is Philly -3 at the book I'm looking at. So Washington might be, I don't know, maybe 4.5, 5.5, you think?
Yeah, I think it'd be bigger.
I don't think it'd be quite a touchdown. You think it'd be a touchdown?
I think it'd be 7.
The only one that I have right now on these look-aheads, and this is not every potential matchup, it's just a few. The only one that's bigger than a touchdown would be Denver on the road at Buffalo, and mm-hmm. Los Angeles on the road at Baltimore is close. That would be 6.5.
I'll be surprised if Philly's less than a touchdown, if they had to go to Philly. But if you're looking at Green Bay, I think, is valued as a better team by the sportsbook. So I'm with you on that. And it makes sense that if Green Bay would, that'd be a shocking number. I actually think Philly would, I would have guessed Philly would have been 4, 4.5 against Green Bay, 7, 7.5 against us. But if it's only 3, it might be less than a touchdown if we go to Philly. I don't think we're going to Philly. I think we're going to beat Dallas and we're going to be the 6th seed. And it's going to be probably Tampa Bay because for whatever reason, Sean McVay doesn't want to play this game. He'd rather be a 4 seed and face the Minnesota-Detroit loser than face Jaden Daniels.
He's ducking
that
him.
Is tongue placed in cheek a little bit. I tweeted that out, and some of you took it very seriously as if I had lost my marbles. But when you really think about it, you know, they already beat Minnesota at home. They were the last team to beat the Vikings, I think, the Rams did, at SoFi. And Detroit is a banged-up football team that can't stop anybody defensively. Washington, you know, here's the thing about the NFC playoffs. The 6th seed and the 7th seed, Washington and Green Bay, in any order you put them in, these are very dangerous 6th and 7th seeds. You know, this isn't your typical, you know, 7th seed, 6th seed, probably going to get run in the first round, don't have much of a chance. No. The NFC postseason is a little bit open here. You know, it looked like Detroit for the maximum allowed 6 weeks ago to be the NFC Championship winner and to go to the Super Bowl, but their injuries have made them a very average to almost subpar defensive football team. I mean, they gave up 34 on Monday night to the 49ers. I mean, they gave up 48 to the Bills. I understand it's the Bills, but they can't stop anybody right now. So if they're the one seed or the five seed, Minnesota can score. Minnesota and Green Bay, actually, in terms of the most well-rounded NFC teams, most complete NFC teams right now that are going to be in the postseason, Denton, right now.
Philadelphia.
Yes, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, and I would obviously
followed by
say Green Bay.
Followed by Green Bay.
Yeah.
I would say followed by Green Bay, too. Even though they just lost at Minnesota. And then I would go Minnesota 3. All right. I think it's going to be the Bucks because of the way the Rams are approaching this. Interesting the way Sean McVay is choosing to do this. Because remember, it's not just the first round opponent that on paper might look tougher, the Minnesota-Detroit loser, a team that would go into that game 14-3. All right. Keep that in mind. 14-3. Going into L.A. if L.A. loses and Tampa wins. And then keep in mind, you know, you lose the possibility of playing more home. You know, you reduce your chances of playing another home game if you end up with, you know, some upsets in the first round. So at Tampa looks like the best bet. But Washington needs to lock down that sixth seed to ensure a trip to Tampa or to LA. All right. It's good to be back. I'll tell you what. I was up late last night watching my Terps in what was truly a painful loss. You know, I get it. You know, I've been talking up Maryland as a team that should have been ranked earlier, and they were ranked this week in the coaches poll, 24th, a team that looks like a team that that could contend for, you know, the Big Ten's upper echelon, top two, top three, top four teams. I think everybody was starting to believe that. They were 11 in the net rankings going into last night, and it concerned me a little before the game started, Denton. They were only a 5.5-point favorite against Washington on the road. That's a conference game now for the Terps. Washington was not a good team. They had lost to the University of Seattle last week by 9, and the Terps laid a big, fat egg on the road. It was hideous looking. They couldn't make free throws. They couldn't knock down threes. They made 2 threes the entire night. I mean, Washington was running them off the three-point line consistently. Their two best players, in my view, their point guard, Jacoby Gillespie, and their phenomenal freshman forward, Derek Queen, were a combined 1-for-13 from the floor and a combined 3-for-7 from the free throw line. They also, you know, combined for 5 turnovers, but more importantly, they were in foul trouble the entire night. It was one of those losses. I know it's a conference game and it's a road conference game, and but man, Washington was not a good team coming in. They had been blown out by USC, blown out by UCLA, lost by, you know, nearly double digits to Seattle University last week. So that was not a good effort for the Terps, who play Oregon on Sunday afternoon. Oregon got run by Illinois. Oregon was the number 9 team in the country, and they got blown out at home last night by Illinois. But tough loss for the Terps. That's all I'm going to have on that, on this final football Friday of the regular season. But yeah, I was with you, those of you that were watching it. It was not fun to see the best players not out on the floor because of foul trouble. I'm not sitting here complaining about the officiating. It's such a Maryland thing to do. It's so sick of that. The officiating was not the problem last night, in my opinion, at all. Maryland was called for all of like 3 more fouls and shot the same number of free throws that Washington shot. Washington, by the way, has this dude. His name is Great. That's his first name. Asabor. He's English. He's like 6'9 and 270, Denton, but highly skilled. I knew nothing about him, but I was told, I had a text from a friend this morning that said he got just massive dollars, like $2 million in NIL dollars to play at Washington. I didn't know anything about him. He was averaging 14-9 heading into the game, and he was awesome for Washington last night. They had a freshman that played well as well. All right, whatever. That's it. Let's get to the Cliff Kingsbury comments. We'll do that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. We've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and most of our business comes from referrals. Why? Because we make it so easy. Tight timeline? No problem. Groomsmen scattered all over? We got you. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Come see me at Nick's Menswear, and let's make this the easiest win for your wedding planning. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
So yesterday was Coordinator Day. Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. holding their weekly press conferences, and we came in with, you know, the back and forth between Cliff and Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. It got a little bit longer. Some of you are really upset about Cliff answering this question, so I will react to that in a moment. But for those that haven't heard the exchange, here it was.
Do you want to be a head coach again?
Yeah, I'm sure at some point. Yeah, at some point.
Do you plan to interview for jobs this year?
I won't comment on that, but yeah, we'll see how everything plays out, but I'm very happy here. Yeah, this has been an awesome place and has really helped me kind of rekindle my love for the sport.
And last one, but what did you learn from your first stint? What would you be looking for?
Yeah, I think the first one, I didn't know what I didn't know, really. Coming from college, I had bounced around on teams as a player, but not as a coach on any level. And so to come in there, I don't think I set the foundation the way I would do it after watching DQ and how he set the foundation from day one. And it was, these are the standards. This is what we won't compromise. This is what we're going to be. I definitely could have done a better job of that. And kind of once you don't lay it out like that, it's hard to put it back in. You know, it's hard to kind of reset it. And I think that's where he's done such a great job. It's like, this is what we're going to be from day one. There was no ifs, ands, or buts, and the guys bought in, and you know, he's led in an incredible way by doing that.
So this exchange yesterday created a major headline. I mean, every single NFL and sports website had it among their top trending stories. Cliff Kingsbury said he would like to be a head coach again at some point. I read you the email from Chuck, at a few others. This came from Pete. Not sure why Cliff needed to answer that question a week before a playoff game. Should have just passed. I'm going to split the difference here. I think, you know, you could absolutely make the case that the headlines have to be focused on team heading into their regular season finale, which is a big game because it's a game to hold on to the sixth seed. It's a week before a playoff game. And he could have easily said, yeah, I'm not going to answer that right now. We're focused on Dallas and we're focused on what's to come after this weekend. And that could have ended it right then and there. But once he said, yeah, I'm sure at some point, to whether or not he wants to be a head coach again. Then it created the opportunity for it to go on. And even though he said very positive things, you know, he would not comment on whether or not he would interview for jobs and talked about how much he likes Washington. This has been an awesome, awesome place and has really helped me kind of rekindle my love for the sport. I'm very happy here, etc. And said incredibly nice complimentary things about Dan Quinn. You know, the headline was going to be, Dan, you know, Kingsbury wants to be a head coach again. So, yes, I hear what some of you are saying. If, you know, he wasn't kind of caught off guard, and by the way, it's a solid question. I mean, he's there. This has been, by the way, something that's been out there anyway. You know, Kingsbury's been a discussed, you know, head coach possibility for many different openings, the Chicago opening in particular, because it could potentially reunite him with Caleb Williams, where he was with Caleb for that 1 year last year in Southern California. So it's not like this was a big reveal that he's a potential head coach candidate. But the fact that he said, yeah, I'm sure at some point he does, you know, he wants to. Yeah, it's possible if he were super quick on his feet, he could have said, I'm not going to create a headline right now. I'm just going to say, yeah, I'm not even thinking about that. We're in the midst of, you know, meaningful games, including the one coming up on Sunday. I also would say this. He answered it honestly. It was a reaction. I don't think that he was necessarily prepared for this. I'm not blaming anybody at all. And what we've gotten from Cliff and Joe Witt Jr., by the way, the two coordinators all year long, is just blunt honesty for the most part. And, I, you know, nothing about his answer is surprising. The way he handled it once he decided to answer the question was in a way in which he certainly presented the opportunity of coming back. Remember, he's getting paid by the Cardinals as a head coach. There's an offset between what Washington's paying him and what Arizona's contractually committed to pay him through 2027. But it's not like, you know, there's going to be a big increase in compensation with him getting a head coaching job next year. I mean, that's one of the benefits of having him here. But I'll be honest with you, nothing surprises me about the answer. Would it have been better if he didn't make a headline? I guess. It's not a negative headline. It's just a headline that sent a lot of you into, don't focus on that when we're a week away from the playoffs. Or some of you are panicked about the possibility of losing him. Well, if you didn't know that already, you haven't been paying attention. I'm just not that worked up over this as some of you are. I really like Cliff. I think that's part of it. I think he's really smart. I think he is highly, highly respected in the trade. Something we talked about when he got hired. You know, some of the people that we know in terms of college football people, they consider him to be brilliant and a great dude. And that's all you've heard from everybody that's been associated with him. And, you know, maybe this is really his calling to be an offensive coordinator and a creator and a quarterback, you know, guru. But, you know, a competitor like him who didn't have the greatest of success, it wasn't a massive failure in Arizona, talking about the things that he's learned from Dan Quinn, taking another shot at it makes sense. But for us, you know, now it's not like his focus is on the Chicago interview or the interview with the Jets or the interview with any of the head coaching opportunities. Okay, he can focus in on what's important right now. And perhaps even he's smart enough to be able to multitask. I'm not that worked up by this. Denton, are you? We haven't talked about this.
No, there's no winning solution if you're Cliff Kingsbury and answering these. Because if you say, yes, I'm interviewing, everyone loses their mind because they think you're leaving. If you say, no, I'm not interviewing, and then you do interview, everyone thinks that you're a liar. I thought the way that he handled it was fine.
Well, he can't interview yet. He's not allowed to interview yet.
Right, but if he would have said no and then did take interviews, you're like, wait a second, you told us no. So the saying the no comment thing, I think that's the best way to do it. He's taking advice from every high school guidance counselor. They tell you, take every interview that you possibly can. Doesn't mean you got to take a job. So I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, look, there was a way to handle this that would have created no headline. which would have been, yeah, right now I'm just focused on the Cowboys. I'm not thinking about any of that stuff. We got Dallas, and then we got a playoff game. That is my 100% sole focus. He could have done that, and it would have been a non-headline. But anyway, I'm not worked up over it. I certainly expect him to interview when this season ends. And I guess there's that opportunity for the in-between the regular season and playoff games for he can't, you know, interview in person when his team's alive for the playoffs, I think it is, but he can do, you know, a Zoom call. Remember, Ben Johnson was doing some of those. Some other playoff participants were doing some of those. But I think the season has to end before there is an in-person interview, which was the case with who was that the case with last year? Who did they have to wait? Well, they had to wait on Ben Johnson. Detroit was in the NFC title game.
And Bobby Slowick.
Well, yeah, but Bobby Slowick wasn't in the title game. Detroit was. And Baltimore was. So, yeah, the Seattle head coach had to wait as well. They had to wait on him as well. All right, Ben's standing next. Oh, real quickly, on the Pro Bowl stuff, thrilled to see, but not surprised. I think all of us knew that Jaden and Terry would be Pro Bowlers. The only gripe I have, and I think it's a legitimate one, I think Frankie Louvu should have been a Pro Bowler, not a second-team alternate. At the very worst, or least, it should have been first-team alternate. I think he could have been in there in front of Van Ginkle or Greenard, personally, or Verse. Who made the Pro Bowl team as well. I that's the only legitimate gripe that I have that I could really justify. Yes, Wagner was deserving, and maybe Fowler Jr., and I'm not going to get into Tyler Ott versus the Minnesota long snapper. Tyler Ott had a couple of snaps that weren't great, you know, this year. But Louvu would be the one that I would say I thought he had a really good chance to make it, and he was a second-team alternate. Did you have any problem with how it played out?
I was stunned that Sam Cosmi was not at least one of the five alternates. They apparently have tiers that go as deep as five alternates, and somehow Sam Cosmi wasn't one of them. There's no way he is at best the seventh best guard.
That's a good call.
In the NFL. Yeah, so that was
stunning. I agree with that. Sam Cosmi should have been somewhere on the alternate list. But still, pretty impressive overall. You know, it is certainly part of what comes with winning more games than you lose. And by a lot, you know, at 11-5 right now. And, you know, a lot of these guys would not be anywhere near where they are without them having gotten it right at number two in the draft on, you know, late April 2024. Jaden Daniels, you know, lifted all boats for sure. All right, Ben Standing next. Ben Standing is our Washington Commanders insider on this show. He writes for The Athletic, as most of you know. It is a worthwhile subscription. He has a podcast called Standing Room Only, and you can follow Ben on X on Twitter at Ben Standing. He is one of the guys on the beat, as he has been all season long, and we have arrived at the regular season finale coming up against Dallas. Real quickly, because I was just talking about it, but I'm just curious as to whether or not you had any kind of, you know, significant reaction to Cliff Kingsbury saying that he wants to be a head coach again.
Well, I mean, I guess I've been surprised by people who that he said he wanted to do that again. I'm not sure what they expected. I mean, he's an ambitious 44-year-old guy, young guy, relatively speaking, to being in his league. He stepped away from the NFL. Well, he got, you know, fired by the Cardinals, but stepped away from the NFL world for a year, and he has basically said he did it to sort of reassess kind of where he is at while still keeping a toe, you know, obviously in the sport. And he has come in this year, and you know, look, I mean, are there elements of his offense that we've seen in previous years? Of course, but he's changed a bunch too. He's, you know, hopefully for the last time for his sake, dispelled this notion of this cliff thing is how they keep scoring points when their quarterback is, you know, healthy. And, yeah, I appreciated the fact that he was honest and didn't just say, well, you never know, we'll see, like, blah, blah. You know, no, he's like, yeah, sure. Whether it's this year is the question. And, you know, there will be jobs open. He's obviously done a very, very good job with this team here. You know, it's almost on some level, the 11 wins, obviously, is very surprising, but that they're averaging 28 points a game is almost on some level more so when you consider a rookie quarterback and, you know, not the most dynamic of pieces around him, and it gives a lot of credit to him. So, no, I don't think it's remotely surprising to me that he would think that he wants to be a head coach again. But, yeah, the question will be, is there an opportunity that he thinks, that is presented to him that he thinks, you know, he can't turn down?
Do you think he'll get a job or not?
I guess it depends. You know, he's in an interesting case, right? One, he's here with a young quarterback who's, you know, only ascending. Two, he's still getting paid by the Cardinals for the last job. Right. So this isn't a paycheck situation. So, you know, I get frustrated sometimes when I hear people who, you know, are not exactly established to say, that people think, oh, they'll be selective. I mean, there's only 32 of these jobs. And you know, Cliff doesn't have to beg anybody for an opportunity. But I think it's just going to come down. Like, you know, would I take the Jets job if offered? Yeah, probably not, right? No quarterback. They clearly have a mess of an organization right now. If the Bengals make a change, is that more interesting? Well, I think Joe Burrow could be a lot of fun to work with. So I think it just probably depends. There's probably only like two or three of those jobs that I think are pretty interesting. So I would guess no by the numbers, but I don't think it's inconceivable at all.
I think the most interesting thing about the Kingsbury thing, look, I don't personally want him to go. I want him to be the offensive coordinator. I'd love to see a year two with a better supporting cast, you know, if they did as well in the offseason in 2025 as they did in 2024. Second year of a more mature quarterback. I don't know how much more mature this guy could be in Jaden Daniels. But I think what would be interesting is if Chicago were interested, his reaction to that job, because it would say so much about Caleb Williams if he were like not interested in that job, for what, you know, that would be a big part of it, you would think. But we can deal with that when we get there. They have a game to play Sunday, and then they're going to have one next week. Who do you want next week? Who do you think is the best? Which of the three possibilities, Philly, Rams, Bucks, and right now, the Bucks are the odds-on favorite because LA's basically not going to play Matt Stafford or some key starters Sunday against Seattle. But which of the three do you think is the best matchup and gives Washington the best chance to advance beyond the first round?
Well, I think on paper the Rams would seem to be the one, right? I mean, you know, their offense obviously very potent, but they've been scuffling lately. They haven't scored 20 points in the last three games. Cooper Kupp has four catches in the last three games. Stafford's been a bit, you know, up and down relative for him these last few games. And, they're a team, I don't know if they've exceeded expectations, but defensively, you know, playing without Aaron Donald this year, obviously, they've got some good players. They got the possible defensive rookie of the year in Jared Verse, but you know, I don't think this is necessarily like a dominant defense. Plus, if the game is in LA, that could easily be the opposite of what we were typically used to seeing here, where the stadium is flooded by burgundy and gold fans. That said, I'm fascinated by the idea of, is it better to face a team that you have already faced because of that familiarity, or, you know, take maybe what is perceived as a quote-unquote easier opponent. I don't know, but you know, any of these are easier per se. But you know, they've already played Tampa this year. They've already played Philly. Obviously, Tampa was forever ago, so much has changed. Jaden Daniels is not the same quarterback as then. But you have already played them. You already have gone up against them. And you know, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. Some people don't seem to mind, but if you're playing a brand new opponent. But I do think there are some, you know, around in this sport who believe that playing an opponent you've already seen is actually the better way to go, because there's less of a, you know, less of an unknown, perhaps less of an intimidation factor if it's a better team, at least by seed, that type of thing. So I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but I would say the Rams on some logical level will probably be the better scenario.
I think so, too. I think, first of all, just what you said, the idea that it would almost be a neutral site environment, you know, there's a chance that it would be. And by the way, I think a lot of burgundy and gold would make it into Tampa as well, because it always has. But I don't know, man. Like right now, you know, Baker Mayfield will put some balls up for grabs, but so will Stafford. I think Bucky Irving is right now as good as anybody in the league the way he's been running, and I would be concerned about Washington's ability to get off the field defensively against Tampa, not to mention if they didn't have Lattimore next week and what Mike Evans could do to them. So I think the Rams have scuffled, like you said, a little bit on offense. Look, if Nacua and Kupp are both healthy, you know, that is a difficult matchup. Kyron Williams is a good back, too. Bucky Irving is becoming a legit big-time threat here as at the running back's position here in the second half of the season, and Washington can't stop the run. That would be my biggest concern. So I would take L.A. over Tampa, even though you're facing a better, you know, overall, I think, coach team. I do like Todd Bowles, love him defensively, but man, he will make some in-game gaffes and errors. Sean typically won't. And, you know, you're going with experienced Super Bowl winning quarterback you'd have to go up against, but I think I'd take the Rams too. I would.
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, we talked about this, I think, last week. You know, it has been forever since Washington's actually beaten a team this year with a legit quarterback. You really kind of have to go back to week four against Kyler Murray. But part of it is it's not just that the quarterback, it's facing a team that has both a quarterback and a viable run game. All three of these teams do. Obviously, Philly with Saquon Barkley is a no-brainer. You just mentioned Bucky Irving. You know, Tampa Bay didn't really completely have that element back in week one. And the Rams, you know, Kyron Williams, you know, maybe he's not the most efficient of running backs, but he, you know, gets a ton of carries, ton of touches, and has been very productive this year. So, yeah, to be able to stop, they got to stop the run, obviously, much better than they have this year. But at the same point, now you're going to have to do it in the context of also having a quarterback who's a killer. So that's where any of these three matchups are going to be more of a challenge in total than they've probably faced in weeks.
Yeah, also just for Tampa, Jalen McMillan, who really didn't get that much run, a little bit of run, and had a big play and a touchdown against us in the opener, but man, has he really come on for Tampa in recent weeks as their number two and a guy that can line up all over the field and is a difficult check. Rookie out of Washington, they had Adunze, they had McMillan with Penix Jr. He was taken in the third round, but a lot of people thought that he could have easily gone earlier than that, and he has really gotten on a roll here recently. Sunday. Let's start with who's going to be available to play, and I just want to start with kind of the status of Austin Ekeler. What is it?
Well, he's practiced in full all week, so I think the question is, at least going into today, so I think the question is just simply, and this is probably the case with their other guys who, you know, he's obviously coming off an injury, not necessarily injured per se. Now, is, you know, do they want to use some of these guys in a game? But yes, it does matter. Seeding does matter. But they're going to be in the playoffs one way or the other. So, you know, what's the deal? Now, in his case, maybe they think, hey, we got to get him back out there. We don't want his first contact being in the playoffs. So, you know, I think to me it's probably that as more than, like, whether he is eligible. Again, you know, he was practicing full all week, if that, you know, that would suggest he's ready to go. So I think that'll be the question. And I guess, if you make me guess, which you're not, but I'll pretend you are, I'll say that he's active and get to know a little bit just to get, you know, that feeling again of being in an NFL game and testing it. Maybe, you know, perhaps working past any trepidation he might have. I you know, saw him the other day in the locker room. You know, he seemed his usual confident self, so it doesn't seem like that's, you know, there's any worries there from him, but at the same point, you know, it's different when you're getting out there. So maybe from that perspective, but otherwise, I, you know, again, whether we're talking about him or Lattimore or a couple other guys, I could see them saying, well, let's just wait and get everybody as healthy as possible for the playoffs.
All right, but if they do activate him, who goes down?
Yeah, hello? Well, it's good. Yeah, no,
that was a pause.
I was just quickly running through my head here on the roster. I mean, like, you know, they, like last week, I kind of thought that Fedarian Mathis, when John Allen would be up, that Fedarian Mathis would be the one to go because they just, you know, purely from a roster. Now here, I, like, you know, Chris Rodriguez to me has been effective enough to think, hey, I want to leave this guy in here to have an option, whether Brian Robinson did the rest or whatever. So I think they probably end up keeping the four running backs. I think what I would wonder is if De'Ami Brown is back this week, right? Now you have him. KJ Osborne has not been active yet in three games. I don't know what that says. Well,
what do you mean? KJ Osborne played Sunday night.
Well, okay, let me rephrase. But he didn't really he has not been really heavily involved, I guess I should say. He was inactive the first two. And last week, I think he had to be active in part because they just didn't have a lot of guys. I mean, they would have six receivers is my point. I don't know that they're going to necessarily keep six is kind of where I'm going with this. So, yeah, I'm not – they're in a weird spot right now from a roster. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing somebody. You can tell me if I am. I don't see like an obvious –
I think the obvious by the way, the obvious place to look is running back, but that may be too obvious to your point, which is why you're scanning the rest of the roster to try to find if they activate Eckler, who do they release? I don't think you can do it with Rodriguez now. And McNichols, by the way, I think is the guy they count on as maybe their best pass protection back by far. I don't know what the answer is, which is why I'm asking you.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, if Cornelius Lucas is out, he's been out this week of practice so far.
Right.
You can't really move another lineman. You know, again, the defensive line, I don't really know that there's somebody that I would say.
You have to release somebody, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Somebody like, that you can get back to the practice squad.
Right, but that's where I go back to, again, I'm just guessing here, like a KJ Osborne. Yeah, if De'Ami Brown is back, you would have McLaurin and Zacchaeus and De'Ami and McCaffrey and Crowder, plus having Eckler back would give you another pass catcher. So I'm saying that's a spot where, to a degree, they have a little bit of overflow. But, you know, and again, Osborne just hasn't been heavily involved. You know, inactive the first two games. And, you know, last week, again, they kind of ran out of people to make inactive. So they had to have some people act up. So that's my best guess. Oh, there's always the possibility that somebody goes on IR, right? That they decide, hey, we, you know, I'm just making this up, but Jordan McGee and Tyler Owens, they help on special teams, but, you know, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to have to figure out a way to get by without them. But, yeah, I don't think there's really an obvious one. But if the point is about a running back, I agree. I don't think you cut Chris Rodriguez at this point.
Yeah, and by the way, if Eckler is active, I would imagine they're not going to put him back on kickoff returns, that they're going to utilize him solely on offense. Luke McCaffrey has actually proven to be a pretty good kickoff returner. Eckler was really good before he got hurt, but you know, maybe we see that in the playoffs, but you're not going to see that Sunday. If he ends up getting snaps, it would be all on offense.
Yeah, ironically, I remember back in training camp when Eckler was among the many players I had working out at kick returner, I was like, oh, this is cute. Like, they're trying Austin Eckler at returner. There's no way they're going to use him, though, in this way, right? He's, you know, let the previous year, he had injuries.
Yeah.
You know, not that he's an old guy, but relatively speaking, for his position, he's getting up there. This isn't what you'd want to do. Well, obviously they did, and he obviously played well, which wasn't the concern that he would play well. The concern was you exposing him to potentially more injuries and, you know, that happened there on the last one, the last concussion. So we'll see. But yes, I'd probably agree with you that if they're going to use him, you got to maximize his abilities, his snaps on offense, not as the returner.
I think they've missed him a hell of a lot. And I think you would agree with that. But let me focus in on two other key players, not necessarily for Sunday, but beyond Sunday. And that is the status when we get to next week before a playoff game in Tampa, LA, or Philadelphia. Will Lattimore and Biotish be back?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd be surprised if either of them are playing this week. We'll see. You know, if they practice today, then, you know, maybe that changes. But that's a perfect example of what the upside of them playing in this game against Dallas for the sixth seed does not outweigh the risk of them not playing in the playoff game. So I would think they sit. And obviously, I think these are two guys, you know, I always like to do the list of the most you know, indispensable players on your team, right? The guys, like, if they go out, the drop is significant. You know, Jaden Daniels would be kind of an obvious one.
Number one, JD. Who's number two for you?
Well, probably Terry. At this point, considering the other option, everything kind of revolves around him. But, you know, Marshon Lattimore might be three, even though he's barely played for this team. And, you know, Tyler Biadasz is somewhere in the top 10. He's had such a good year anchoring the middle of that offensive line. And, you know, the strength of that line is the center and the two guards. And when he's not in there, you know, it has felt, I think he felt it. And, you know, I think that's one of the, you know, the combination of no Eckler and Biadasz being a bit limited, I think has hurt the run game, you know, and you know, Brian Robinson's forte in particular going up the middle. So, I think those two guys would be huge losses that they can't easily fix, especially Lattimore. We saw last week the Michael Davis, Benjamin St. Juice combo on the outside as his replacement. That's just not going to be ideal if you're playing a Philly team or a Rams team that has, you know, two really, really good receivers.
It's actually an interesting conversation, and we're talking to Ben, because to me, the way they advance over the next, you know, several weeks is by being incredibly dynamic and unstoppable on offense. I can't, you know, wrap my arms around a defensive turnaround and that being critical to a playoff run. So I hear you on Lattimore, and I would throw in Wagner and Luvu on the defensive side of the ball, but I think Biadasz and Terry would be number two behind JD. And then you look to, you know, what's in front of them to kind of keep them in, you know, they have not had in recent weeks the ability to be consistent as in the run game with anybody other than their quarterback or in pass pro. So that would be, for me, what would be next. It would be offensive players.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, it's kind of like looking at the Detroit Lions. I'm not comparing Washington's offense to that necessarily, but the Lions are missing an insane amount of players on defense, and it doesn't seem to matter too much because nobody is slowing down their offense.
Yeah.
If there is a game where they do, or somebody is able to, you know, keep them under, say, 24 points, then you wonder, are they going to be able to hold up enough on defense? But, yeah, I think, yes, right now, enhancing anything that it helps enhance Jaden Daniels is the way to go. You know, we've talked about this before. Sort of, it's still for me somewhat a little bit unclear as to exactly what level of a team they are at, because there's still a lot of questions for me about the roster in the first year of this rebuild, which is understandable. But when you have the eraser known as Jaden Daniels, some of it just doesn't matter. And I think we saw last week against Atlanta a perfect example of a guy who more or less willed the team to that win in overtime with just his willingness to sort of take on every responsibility. It felt like passing, running outside, running with power to the degree that he has power. The offense is going to carry this team, no doubt about it.
All right, lastly, for the last time in the regular season, just a couple of quick keys to beating the Cowboys and a final score prediction.
I haven't seen who Dallas is exactly going to play or sit or what have you. So obviously that's going to be some factor. They already know CeeDee Lamb. Is Trey Lance going to start for them at quarterback? You think logically he should, right? I mean, you've had this guy. You haven't really seen what he could do. You know what Cooper Rush is. So, you know, all that said, you know, Dallas, this is a game that Washington, you know, should win. I understand they lost already, and the division record, you know, division teams, you never know how it's going to go. But I just think the key for Washington is just get ready for what they need to do in the playoffs. You know, this is a team that cannot afford to make mistakes. I know they won a game with five turnovers, but that's not going to work, you know, week in and week out. You know, obviously, you know, I think establishing the run is going to be big because they have not really done that much outside of Daniels, as you said, the last few weeks. And, you know, look, Rico Dowdle is not Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley, but, you know, he's been an effective running back this year, and they got to slow down a run game. They just have not been able to do that. You know, yes, did Atlanta, did they sort of quiet Atlanta in the second half? Sure, but that was in part because they got a rookie, Atlanta had a rookie quarterback in there, and Washington dominated at time of possession.
Did they slow Saquon
Barkley down? Right. Did they slow Saquon Barkley down after that crazy first quarter? Yeah, to a degree, but Jalen Hurts was out of the game. And, you know, the Eagles were find, you know, have plenty of other weapons. They have just not been able to consistently stop the run when the other team kind of keeps doing it all game. And, you know, it doesn't matter who they're going to face in the playoffs. If they can't do that, then it's going to be a really tough challenge for them to advance. So, you know, it's probably just more focusing on what they do, what they need to improve on, more than it is whatever Dallas is going
to
offer.
All right. Talk to you on Monday, and we'll have all the answers in terms of playoff opponent, and look forward to a playoff game for the first time in a while. And one maybe they can win for the first time in a while. Have a good weekend. Yeah, enjoy the trip.
Wait, since you're my weatherman, am I getting stuck in Dallas with snow?
Maybe. Yes, the answer is maybe.
Great.
But it's subject to change. You know how these things always change. It's 2 days away from the event. Actually, 2.5 days. Yeah. So we'll see. All right.
Well, I'll look for your weather alert. See ya.
Well, Doug Kammer is going to be on with us an hour from now, so he'll give us the latest. Thanks. Got to run.
See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. When we come back, Denton and I will talk about the college football playoff games from the last few days. I've got my keys to a win over the Cowboys, smell test picks. As I mentioned, Doug Kammer will be on the show. A lot left here on this final regular season football Friday of the season. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.